Broadcasting by the sea in sunny San Diego, this is the Ascended Masters at Work show, where we lift the veil of mysticism and reveal ancient secrets brought to earth by the world's greatest spiritual teachers. Here we share real-life stories that change lives and widen our eyes. And now, here is your host and spiritual life coach, Reverend Shirlene Reeves.
Hi, everybody. I am really excited about our show today because this guest, I have been watching him for 16 years, and he has been my mentor for so long, and now I get to share his wisdom with all of you. And you're going to be so excited because one of the hardest things that we do as entrepreneurs is marketing. Wouldn't you all agree? You know, we just don't know where to start, and a lot of the people that I coach, they don't even know who their target market is. They don't even know who they're talking to in the first place. And when I ask them, who in the heck are you selling? They'll say, oh, I'm selling everybody. But we know we can't sell everybody. And this gentleman is going to share a lot of great information about that. And also, I want to tell you something else. I read his information before I started this podcast, and he said that when you put your podcast together, you want to bring people onto the show that have a large database, and then ultimately you put it into a book. And I love that, and that's exactly what I'm doing as I'm following him yet again. So I'm going to keep it a secret for a minute and tell you that he's a nationally recognized direct response marketing expert, and he's a three-time marketer of the year nominee. Can you believe that? And he's the author of seven best-selling marketing books, and his latest book, Market Domination for Podcasting, and that's what I was reading about, is currently on the shelves at Barnes and Noble's. Now he is, listen in, he is the co-host of the Sharkpreneur podcast with Shark Tank's Kevin Harrington. Now you know why he's my mentor. And Seth has been featured on real media like Inc. Magazine, CBS Money Watch, CBS News, the Los Angeles Times, the Boston Globe, the Miami Herald, and the number one morning radio show in New York City. Yes, I said Seth. Seth Green is who is with us today, and he is both the founder and CEO of one of the fastest growing direct response marketing firms in the country, Market Domination LLC, the company that will make new customers appear for your business like magic. You won't believe it. And his books are named Financial Advisor Marketing Magic, Real Estate Marketing Magic, Online Marketing Magic, Cutting Edge Marketing Magic, The Facebook Ninja, I love that one, The Secrets of Top Producing Financial Advisors, and he was originally a financial advisor, and Market Domination for Podcasting. That's the one I'm liking for this show. So Seth, welcome to the show. I'm so excited that you're here.
Wow. Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be on and serve your audience. And can you, I hire you to just walk around and introduce me that way everywhere I go, because that was amazing. I hope I can live up to it.
Well, you are an amazing guy. And as I said, I've been watching you for so many years. And I, you know, I was just watching one of your podcasts the other day, and it said your company is growing 11,500%. Who can say that? I don't know anybody that could say that.
Yes, I think that number is technically outdated. It's kind of more than that. But yes, it is. It's very cool, and it's been an incredible journey, and there have been ups and downs that I'm sure we're going to talk about today, because it hasn't been a straight upward ride. So I am happy to share both our successes and our failures, because sometimes we learn more from the failures than we do from trying to copy someone else's success.
And I so love that you say that, because there's so many people that make mistakes, and they just give up and walk away. And I've known you since you were a one-man band. And boy, you have
God, you're going 16. You're making me feel old. But wow. Yeah, you are going different. You've been there since the beginning.
I have. I've had my eye on you for a very long time. And that's why when you said yes to coming on the podcast, I was so excited. So thank you for that.
My pleasure.
So tell us, Seth, you know, what got you started? Now, I know you were a financial advisor originally, and you found out the magic to really make that work for you. And I'm hoping, since we have all entrepreneurs that listen to this show, that you'll share with them, you know, how you created that magic and what it is. I'm so anxious to have them hear you.
Sure, I'd be happy to. So I started out as a retail financial advisor. I was literally making 300 cold calls a day at a Fortune 500 stock brokerage company, interrupting strangers, asking them for money, and getting hung up on an awful lot. And it wasn't very much fun. It wasn't what I imagined when I decided to go become a financial advisor. So I had the good fortune to be introduced to a gentleman you know and I know named Dan Kennedy, who's probably the greatest living direct response marketing mind today, who's like the godfather of our industry. And at the time, he said, listen, you shouldn't be cold calling. You shouldn't be mass market mailing for seminars, all the things that financial advisors are taught to do. It's not your fault. Your industry taught you all wrong. You know, write me this really big check and I'll change your life. Now, obviously, his pitch was a lot better than that. And it took 8 hours, not 8 seconds, but I'm shortening it for the purposes of your show. So I went home to my wife. We had been in the span of 1 year, we got married, bought our first house, had our first baby, and she quit her job to be a stay-at-home mom. So it was a busy year. And I said, honey, I know you just did all that, but I got to go borrow more than our mortgage to go hire this guy, Dan. And I was cold calling for a living at the time, so I wasn't making very much money. And she said no, because she's a smart woman. Well, I came back the next day because I'm a persistent son of a gun. And I asked the same question and she gave me the same answer. And we played out this drama for the next 30 days in a row. My question would get more vehement. Her answers got more intense and with some profanity thrown in until finally on day 31, she said, you better pray this works. So I went to work with Dan. There were 6,700 advisors at the company I worked for. I was in last place. I was literally at the bottom. And in 2 years of working with Dan Kennedy, I was in the top 30 nationwide for opening new accounts.
Wow.
So
amazing.
He took me from the very bottom of the barrel to the top. And again, I was 20 something, early 20s at the time, and competing against financial advisors who had been doing business like 40, 50 years and had these giant client bases to pull from. So it got me a lot of media attention. It got me written about in 3 books for financial advisors. It got me written about in the 3 top industry trade journals. And then my phone started ringing off the hook with financial advisors saying, I read about you. How do I do what you did? And so I said, Dan, what do I do? They want to do what I did. And he said, well, you start a marketing company and you charge them and you do it for them. So I started MarketDominationLLC.com then. And first, we only did done-for-you direct response marketing for financial advisors, but then other business owners, I started speaking at conferences, other business owners started hearing about it and saying, hey, would that work in my dental practice? Would that work in my accounting practice? I'm a plastic surgeon. Would it work for me? Hey, I own a pizza and wing place. Will that work? And so I said, you know what? The principles of marketing are the same no matter what business you're in. You just change how you execute them. So sure, it'll work. And so it started out as me being a one-man band, as you remember, to now I've got an office building full of an awesome team. I think we're up to, well, we were up to 15 or 18 people, but I just hired somebody else today. And we've served over like 2,000 clients all over the globe, literally in lots of every different time zone on the planet, which makes it interesting for my wife when my phone, you know, my cell phone buzzes at 3 a.m. But as you said, along the way, I've written 7 books. I've co-hosted the show with Kevin from Shark Tank, and it's been an incredible journey.
It's absolutely been an incredible journey because I've been riding along with you. And I've learned so much as we've been going along. And a lot of it I teach to my entrepreneurs that come to me for coaching. So I want to ask you, what is the best way once an entrepreneur defines their target market, and I think that's the toughest thing to do.
And that's a big if right there, because most of them get it wrong.
Yes, they do. They absolutely
50% of the success or failure of any marketing campaign comes down to who you're sending it to, who is their target market. So that is the first question I ask in every marketing consultation when a new prospective client comes to us and says, you know, I want to hire you. I want to learn about what you do. I mean, the first question is always, who's your target market?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But then they'll say to me, but if I want to sell to somebody outside the target market, can I do that? They think that if they refine the target market down and they can actually speak to that target market, that they can't sell to anybody else. And I'm always saying, but that's not true. You can sell to anybody. You just got to talk to one demographic, right?
That is absolutely 100% true.
Thank you for that.
Amen, sister. You are right.
You can see I'm a good student, aren't I, Seth?
Yes, you have paid attention. You have learned well, Grasshopper.
So what would you say is their next step after that? What if you, I know you work with Fortune 500 companies and you work with solopreneurs, and that's hugely different when it comes
completely
to
marketing. Different. Yes.
Yes.
So I would say, if let's assume, and it's a big assumption, that they've got their target market properly defined, and we could spend an entire hour just talking about how to do that. Mm-hmm. So after they've got their target market defined, that's the first principle of my five principles of magical marketing, is who is your target market? The next question, the next principle is where. Where do they hang out?
Yes.
Because that's going to play into principle three, how do you reach them? Because if your target market is 80-year-old arthritic widows with glaucoma, then you should not send them tiny print glossy brochures with that are impossible for their arthritic fingers to turn, and they can't even see the writing on the page anyway. It's a ludicrous example, but I see mistakes like that all of the time, because I am on every list known to man, both business and consumer. My wife hates getting the mail because there's piles of what she calls junk mail. And I say, mm-hmm. You're not allowed to throw anything out. There's gold in there. And I see it get made. I mean, yesterday I saw it was a political – it is primary. It was recently – it's election season here where I am. And they sent a direct mail piece to get me to vote, and it was for the wrong party.
Wow.
So odds are I'm not going to go vote for the guy who's in the opposite party as me. Somehow they got their target market wrong.
Wow.
On the other hand, I'm holding this really cool piece that I saved because I couldn't believe it. So Arby's, the fast food chain, is doing business-to-business marketing.
Mm.
Arby's sent me a marketing campaign, post this mailer in your break room. It's a poster with coupons attached. Come in today and upgrade your desk lunch. And it's got 8 different things that they're giving away for free. If we'll go down the street, they're literally 2 blocks away. And it's a employee discount.
Wow.
And I said, wow, there's a bunch of ways I could make it better. But if Arby's, a fast food, dollar menu, whatever place, can do business-to-business marketing as opposed to just TV commercials saying we have the meats, then anybody, there's hope for anybody if there's hope for Arby's.
Absolutely. Wow. That's a really good marketing ploy. And you know, I want to tell you what my little technique is. I look at people's business cards. Have you ever noticed when they think they have to put so much on them and then you can't see anything? And I was sitting with one of my clients the other day and I showed her this business card and we got a magnifier out and we still couldn't see what it said on.
Oh my God.
So I'm not sure even she could market to somebody who's 26.
Right.
With perfect eyesight. How in the heck would you know? So I could gotten so I can tell a lot just from looking at a business card and how much they put on it, for one, as opposed to just the major things that need to be there in a size that we can read.
Sure. And I mean, Ivan Meisner, the founder of BNI, wrote a great book called It's All in the Cards, of examples of great business cards that got attention and got results. Roy Williams, one of my marketing mentors, says it's not about what you put in, it's about what you leave out. So
right.
I agree absolutely with what you're saying.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I can tell who needs the help. So then I get the business card and I go, maybe we should sit down and have some coffee.
There you go.
There's always a way, right?
There is always a way.
Now, I talk about building relationship in the business to business world so that we can know other people and they can know us, so that we show that we care and we like and build trust first. How do you feel about that?
Absolutely, because it's funny, people will say, well, B2B marketing is different, and it's not, because the business isn't the buyer of whatever it is that you sell. The business doesn't hire you. Ultimately, there's a person who writes you that check and signs that contract. And that person puts on their pants one leg at a time, or their skirt, just like you do. That person has fears, hopes, dreams. That person has things that gets them, that they're passionate about. And the person makes the buying decision. And people don't buy unless, as you teach, they don't buy unless they know you, like you, and trust you.
Absolutely. So what would you say is your number three top golden nuggets for entrepreneurs who are working to build their business marketing wise?
Only three. I only get three. Golden nuggets.
There has to be three top ones.
Three top ones. It depends on what the challenge is that I'm trying to solve. I got to come up with something. All right. So, I mean, we talked about who your target market is, where they hang out, how are you going to reach them? What are you going to share with them? What are you going to offer them that is different from anybody else who does what you do? What's your magical marketing proposition? And then how are you going to communicate all of that? What is the marketing system that will deliver your message to the right person at the right time and get them to take the right action to get into business with you? Does that count?
Yep, that was beautiful. That was beautiful. And you know, you and I run along the same line so beautifully. It's amazing. I'm like checking things off. Yep. So when you take on a new business, an entrepreneur do you take on people that are just starting out?
Only if they can afford us.
Okay, only if they can afford you. So
they've got to gotten to some level where they can, you know, do more than fog the mirror. They've got to be able to write the check, because unfortunately, I'm not running a charity. I've got, you know, all of these families to feed.
I know, and I say the same thing. I love that, fog the mirror. That's great. But some of them fog the mirror, and it still doesn't make any difference, right?
That is very true. There are people we can't help. We are not right for everybody.
Yes. And so next to their target market, what would you say is another really big challenge that they have?
I think people think that how you market they might have to market the way it's always been done, or they have to market the way everybody else in their industry does. And to steal a saying from our mentor Dan Kennedy, when everybody copies everybody else, that's marketing incest, and you just end up with people stupider and stupider marketing that doesn't work.
I
would think they think they're supposed to do what everybody else does. And if you want average results, then copy average people. If you want amazing results, you've got to do something differently. And I also think that's issue number one. And I think issue number two, biggest mistake I see, is being boring. You know, you've got to cut through the clutter. We're hit by 5,000, 10,000, whatever it is, marketing messages every day. And if you're marketing, you know, I used to joke in the financial services industry that a Morgan Stanley brochure and a Merrill Lynch brochure and a A.G. Edwards brochure were all literally interchangeable. You could move the logo from one to the other, and everything was exactly nothing needed to change, which means they were doing it wrong, because it all looked the same. If you look the same as everybody else does, how are they supposed to tell you apart?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And because I'm in the financial world too, I'm a certified financial educator. I see all those brochures, and you know, you just got to remember the color on the front, because they kind of all say the same.
Exactly.
And the same pictures even. It's sad.
It's the same stock clip art, right? It's who are the, as David Meerman Scott says, you know, the author of the New Rules of Marketing and PR, he says a line every time he gives a presentation that I love. He's like, who are these happy, multicultural, good-looking people with perfect hair and beautiful teeth that show up on every brochure and in every website?
And there's not even one flaw in their skin. Not one.
Drives us normal people crazy.
So, you know, Seth, I want to ask you, I always tell all my clients that when you choose a coach or somebody that's going to support you, to make sure that they've done all the tacking back and forth and made all the mistakes so that you don't make those mistakes. So share with us some of the mistakes that you've made so that we can avoid them.
Sure. So big one. I've made quite a few. I waited too long to hire more people. Mm-hmm. I've hired in advance of getting a client and then had the client flake out. I've spent money both mentally and physically before I had it. So for example, 4 years ago, my wife and I had our third baby and we were looking for a new house. And we were looking for a house in, let's say, price range X. And then one of the largest regional law firms saw me speak. We started working back and forth, proposal, meeting, consultation, all that stuff. Went back and forth for like 9 months. Finally gets to the close. The client says at the last, you know, the final presentation, final contract terms, agrees to everything, says, okay, send me a contract. I'll get, you know, it's Friday, send me a contract. I'll get you a check next week. I'm on cloud nine because this is a multiple six-figure contract with performance incentives that would take it to seven figures. They're going to be like one of our biggest clients. And so I go home and I tell my wife, I talk to my mortgage broker, and then I tell my wife, great news, honey, we got approved at price range Y, which was a couple hundred thousand dollars more than price range X. And I say, go look for a house in this range. So she's bouncing off the wall and looking at much bigger houses and is really excited. Send the guy the contract. Don't get a check. Don't get a response. I figure he's busy. He's out of town, whatever, emailing, calling, leaving messages. My couple weeks go by. My wife has narrowed it down to like two gorgeous houses that she wants, that I love too, ready to make an offer. But I still don't have a check yet. It has now gotten to be – it's literally been a month since he said, send me a contract, I'll get you a check. And I don't have a check or a contract. I'm getting very frustrated and I can't – and my wife wants to put bids in on houses and buy one. And she's like – doesn't understand why I'm saying, oh, just wait a minute, honey. Don't do it. Don't do it today. She doesn't get why I'm stalling because I didn't tell her. So I showed up at the law office. I said to the secretary, I don't have an appointment, but I can't get an email or a phone call back. I don't have anything else to do today. I moved all my meetings. I brought a book. I'm going to sit in your waiting room all day for the next 8 hours until I get like 2 minutes with this guy. And she said, oh my, she's all flustered and all upset. Like, you can't do that. I'm like, no, unless you're going to call the cops to drag me out, I will sit here all day. So she goes back into the offices. 2 minutes later comes out and says, I'm so sorry. He changed his mind. We're not going to do business with you.
Oh no.
So that would have been nice to know like 3 weeks ago.
Right.
So I was so mad. Like, I sat in the car and screamed some words I won't say now. And I texted my wife. My wife didn't quite understand what was going on, but she dropped the kids off at her parents and met me at home with a bottle of whiskey and said, you know, what the heck is going on? And I had to tell her that higher price range was based on this guy writing a check. I believed him. You got to go back to our normal price range. And like, she was so she's like, honey, I love you no matter what. I wish I had known. This roller coaster has really sucked. I can't even imagine how much more it sucked for you. And that really bites. So she was spending the money mentally buying a bigger house. I had actually hired a couple staff members to handle all of the work from this firm. And then they flaked out. And we had to rapidly figure out what to do with them because I didn't want to fire them 3 weeks after I hired them. So I had to find a way to get enough business really fast to cover payroll. So that was I've made that mistake more than once, although I have hopefully I've learned to not spend the money before we get it, not hire until the check clears. But I still every once in a while will catch myself falling into the trap of what Ari Gelber calls hopium. Where you're like so excited because they say they're going to do it and you start getting emotionally into the future and then the check doesn't show up. And that, unfortunately, that happens at least a couple times a year as someone promises that they're going to hire us, asks for a contract, says, okay, we're good, and then magically flakes out.
Well, and you know that payroll goes on no matter what. It doesn't really matter. And I totally understand where you're at with that, because when I had my nationwide corporation, we were working with powerhouses like Wells Fargo and Bank of America and Fidelity Title, all the high-end people, and they'd say, okay, well, we've just got a new account coming in, and we're really going to be ramping up, and you're going to receive 90 orders more a day. And so, like you, I would be out right away getting everybody in gear and hiring, and then they go, oh, we didn't get that account yet. And then they stall us off, and payroll goes on, right, Seth? Yeah. No matter what, you still got to make your payroll. And yep. I had 23,000 working under me at that time.
Wow.
And so, yeah, it was a substantial payroll to bring people in that, because I always believe in bringing people into your business that are going to pay for themselves. Meaning, and I know you know what I mean, Seth, but I'm going to explain to the listeners that means that you don't hire someone that isn't going to have some sort of benefit that creates an income for you. If they're not going to create an income for you, even if it's not directly, you don't want to hire those people, because they're not, it's going to be what I call dead weight. You know what I'm talking about, right, Seth?
I do. That is great. I'm going to write that down. That is really good advice.
Wow, I can give advice to my mentor.
You can. The student has become the teacher. I love it.
Okay. So you always want to make sure that whoever you hire is going to support you in providing an income that keeps your business going. You don't want to hire any dead weight just because they're your friend or your family, which I wouldn't hire in the first place, in order to keep your business afloat. Otherwise, you're spending money you don't have. It's just that simple. And I understand what you went through, Seth, because there's a lot of anxiety there when you're trying to meet a payroll and you've got somebody on the other end saying, this is coming, and yet it doesn't get there.
Yep.
So like you, I'm trusting too.
Exactly.
Yes. So we're going to take a break for just a second, and we will be right back with you to talk to Seth about what the universe has done for him and how it has supported him. Be right back.
Attention professional practice owners. What if you could stalk your prospective clients, customers, and patients within 100 meters of wherever they went? If you are a chiropractor, that means your message can pop up on their smartphone as a push notification when they get within 100 meters of any gym, CrossFit, pain clinic, pharmacy, or martial arts studio. If you are a financial advisor, you can advertise to anyone who walks within 100 meters of an accountant or an attorney's office. If you are a realtor, you can promote your business to anyone who goes into any neighborhood, apartment building, subway, airport, or even taxi. Welcome to Stalker Tags, the next generation of privacy invasion, brought to you by Market Domination. If you want to learn how to get your message onto your prospects' phones when they hit a certain location, enter your contact info and we will show you how you can use this cutting-edge technology to reach more of the right prospects at exactly the right time. Go to www.stalkertags.com now.
So welcome back. And you know, Seth, I just want to say that's ingenious. Isn't this man a genius? Who would think of a stalker tag? How did you get into that?
I will not take the credit for all of it. It's funny. I was traveling to speak at a conference with Kevin Harrington, and whenever I travel, I will take a list of like the 30 days most recent opt-ins on our website. People who opted in for whether it was my book or one of our other free offers on my website. And I will randomly call people. And it's really fun because people are like, oh my God, I can't believe you called me. And I get to have a great conversation with them. And one of the conversations I had was with this gentleman who said, I have this business. You know, he had three different, but he had opted in for the podcasting book, just like you did, at marketdominationllc.com/podcast. And he had a couple different businesses going on, and he hired me to do a consultation. So we did our hour of talking about his business and him telling me what was wrong and me telling him how to fix it. And then he mentioned he had this other thing, and he shows me this little piece of technology, and he says, I bought it from this company, this technology company, and it can, you know, put a notification in within 100 meters on someone's smartphone. And he said, I don't know what to do with it. It's really cool, but I don't know what to do with it. And I said, oh, my God, I was off to the races.
Yeah.
So I said, what is this company? I'm going to go buy it. I'm going to go. I can think of a million ways to market this and to use it. So I will go. So he connected me with the company. I bought in. I built a marketing funnel, which you'll see, you know, a simple one at stalkertags.com, showing people, you know, offering this service to other two people, because a lot of people don't immediately go, this is what I would do with it. I had to tell him, hey, you could use this on your company. He was just thinking I was just going to put it in his own business to target his customers. And I said, that's great, but why not go after your competition or your co-opetition? I said, there's so much more you could do with this. So I became a part of it. And for example, I have a stalker tag right now at the drive-through ATM of my bank. And yesterday we got 3 consultation requests filled out on our website from people who came from that stalker, from people who drove through the bank drive-through, who are business owners, and saw the notification on their phone, clicked the link, went to our site, and signed up.
So you're telling me that it doesn't have to be somebody that's brick and mortar. It could be any business where people are your target market. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, 80% of our clients, 80% of our clients are not local. We never physically meet them. We just meet them on Zoom or Skype. So I've started mailing these to people who are in, you know, big cities like San Diego and saying, hey, can you toss this here? You know, we put them inside of fake rocks. And then the rocks that hold keys, but it fits the exact right dimensions. So we will toss them in the landscaping at whatever place. And I mean, I've sent these to people and said, hey, I'm not going to that conference next week. I'm at a different one. Will you just put this, you know, you don't need the fake rock anymore. Will you just put this little device the size of a quarter in your pocket when you walk around the conference?
Oh, my gosh. And everyone need to talk to you.
And everyone who's walking around is getting pinged on their phone, and then they're learning about us. And it's funny because we've gotten calls from that, and they're like, you know, I got your message. I'm signed up. I didn't see you at the conference. I'm sorry we didn't get a chance to bump in, you know, to find you. And I don't tell them I wasn't even there, but you think I was because you think I, like, physically sent them the notification as opposed to knowing that it was this little stalker tag that did it.
Oh, my gosh. That's
and we made up the name crazy. Stalker tags. That's not actually what they're called, but it sounds a lot sexier.
Uh-huh. It does.
Well, like Bluetooth-enabled, whatever device it was called, stalker tags, you just get it.
So I'm thinking about, you know, I'm doing my book launch in January 4th, and I'm thinking that I could, and I'm going to other events, and you could walk around with that in your pocket, and it would just automatically show up, right?
Exactly right.
Oh, my gosh. That is ingenious. I don't know who that guy was, but I'm sure glad you grabbed onto that.
Yep, so I've got a client who's hiring the waitresses who work the luxury suites at sports stadiums to put this in their pocket and walk around when they're serving in all the luxury boxes, because he figures if they're in a luxury box, they'd be a good client for his business.
So, and what is his business? Give me an idea of what that is.
He works with private equity owned companies, and he comes in and fixes their sales team. So he's going after really, $10 to $100 million companies. His consulting contracts, you know, are 6 figures a year. He's got, you know, 23 years of successful track record doing this. And he said, you know, the guys who own my companies, you know, they play golf, so I should toss it out. You know, I should have these in the clubhouse at golf courses, at high-end country clubs. They have luxury boxes. They should go there. All kinds of cool stuff you can do.
And when they tap on it, do they just go right to the website? Is that what happens?
They go to any URL you want to send them to. So they can go to your website. They can go to a specific landing page. You could send them to your Facebook page if you wanted. You can send them anywhere.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Wow. I love that. And so that's at stalkertag.com, right?
Stalkertags, plural.
Tags, stalkertags.com. Thank you for that correction. So before we went to break, I told everybody that I was going to ask you how the universe has guided you and how it changed your life or your business. Can you tell us that story?
There's a lot of them. I've got more than one. So, I mean, I wouldn't be here without the direct intervention of, you know, let's say spirit. So whatever you want to label it. So, I mean, I've been diagnosed with a chronic illness for 28 years. And there was a time where I was hospitalized and the doctor said, you know, you're going to feed you through an IV. You can't eat anymore. Your internal digestive system needs like a complete rest. We don't know when you'll be able to like actually eat again. There was a time during that when I was hospitalized for a while that I thought I was going to die. And it was really bad. And I guess I would say hit emotional rock bottom in addition to being physically very, very sick. And, you know, I'm in the hotel room at night by myself and scared out of my mind and wondering why this had to happen to me and all those kind of thoughts that run through your head. And I just felt like this, like all of it, I was crying and I just felt this like wave of like, I don't know, blessing, peace. And like the noise in my head just stopped, all the fear-based emotion just stopped. And, I just had this tranquility and literally the next morning I woke up, I said, I'm fine. And the doctor said, you know, what do you mean? That's good that you're feeling good today. But it's, we're glad that you seem to be doing, you know, you're emotionally in good place. I said, no, you don't understand. I'm fine. I'm physically fine. Do another scope. I'm good. I guarantee you all of the inflammation, all of the issues, they're all gone. And they looked at me like I was crazy. It's not time to run the test, this test. It's invasive. You know, we shouldn't be sticking anything in there right now. It's all inflamed. You know, I said, just do it. And okay, I insist. They finally did it. And they're like, oh my God, you have no more symptoms. There's no evidence you were ever ill.
Wow.
We don't understand why. Now, the interesting thing is that was probably only like the first miracle in my life. I keep experiencing these. So the illness has come and gone. However, I notice that it usually shows up when I am allowing the negativity to win, when I'm allowing the fear to win, when I'm not managing my emotional state. And interestingly enough, that's when the business issues happen. That's when the negative side of the roller coaster of being an entrepreneur happens, and when the clients suddenly aren't happy and their credit cards bounce or they stop paying. Mm-hmm. And I figure I keep relearning this lesson as I get better at it. But magically, when I get my spirit right, when I get in the right state, all of a sudden my business improves, the results we have for our clients improve, their businesses improve, mine improves, and my health is better.
Hmm. Interesting. Wow. So you really are guided then.
Absolutely. And the more time I take to listen to that voice, the better I do.
Wow. So,
can I just tell one more real quick one?
Please, yes.
So my wonderful, amazing wife, Rebecca. So she's a perfect example. So I was home. We're Jewish. I went to synagogue with we went to high school. She was a year ahead of me, but we did not know each other. Like I knew her name, but we were not friends. We were not in the same social circles. And I go to temple. I was late 20s and at the time, and I went. My parents went to our temple is split by alphabet. Like first half of the alphabet goes at this time, second half goes at this time. And for whatever reason, I didn't go with my parents to the service that I should have gone to. I decided I was going to go to the other service that for the second half of the alphabet. So I went by myself. And which never happened. Even despite my numerous spiritual awakenings, I never went by myself. I always went with my parents. So I go by myself and three rows ahead of me is Rebecca. And I don't notice. And then she gets up during the service to go to the bathroom. I see her walk out. I'm like, oh my God, I know her. I followed her out. I walked up to her. I didn't even wait for her to go to the bathroom. I stopped her and I was like, aren't you, you know, Rebecca Melnikoff? And she said, yes. I said, I'm Seth Green. I went to East with you. She's like, oh, my God, I remember you. Let me go pee. So, you know, she went to the bathroom. She came back out. We started talking. I gave her my business card. I said, I heard you got engaged. She said, yeah, it didn't work out. I said, I got engaged, too. That didn't work out either. I said, you know, give me a call sometime and we'll talk. We can share stories. And at the time, she was seeing someone. She was in a serious relationship, and so was I. However, 4 months later, I got an email saying, you'll never believe who this is. I found your business card at the bottom of my purse 4 months later, and I wanted to say hi. And it was her. Uh-huh. And she was single when she emailed me. I was single when she emailed me. And, you know, our first date lasted 12 hours.
Wow.
And
that's amazing.
Yeah, it's been a fairy tale, pretty much romance ever since. And it's funny because she had her a friend, one of her dear friends at the time, had heard the story of her meeting me at Temple. And for those 4 months said, kept knocking on her head going, why don't you dump your loser boyfriend who's no good for you? You met a hot Jewish guy at Temple. What more does God have to do? You told me you were sitting in Temple praying that you could meet a nice Jewish guy. You met one, dump this jerk and call this guy. And it took 4 months to get through her head. And then she said, okay, fine. I'll call him. I'll email him. And thank God she did.
And thank goodness you answered.
Yes, I did.
Okay. Right? Because, yes. You know, we get busy and we don't even answer. And then we think, oh, that's not real.
And this was a long time ago when 13 years ago when I did not, I was not a celebrated author. This is before any of the books. Before any of my pseudo celebrity in the marketing world. So back then I might have only gotten 20 emails a day. It's not like today where I might get thousands.
Yes, I get it.
So yeah. I actually saw it.
That day when you were a one man band.
This was before the band. I was still working as if this was pre Dan Kennedy. I was cold calling when she remember, because I had to ask her after we got married to go borrow money for Dan. So this was even before I even knew who Dan was. So I was just a cold calling cubicle slave.
Got it. Okay. Oh, I love that. A cubicle slave. Oh, my gosh. That's a great description.
Thank you.
So that's a really great story. I love that story. And, you know, I love what the universe does for all of us. And I've really found that, especially with those who have soared in business, they do have a universal connection that guides them. And I love that you do too, Seth. That's awesome.
Absolutely.
So now I want to know, how are you increasing website conversions by 400%? How are you doing that?
We've got a secret to doing that, to getting a whole lot more people. So this is traffic you're already getting and doing a much better job 4X in terms of converting that to take some type of action, whether it's opt-in for a webinar or a free report or whatever your offer is. We're doing something that we're calling – it's a doodle animated explainer video. Mm. So if you've seen like the post office had a very famous TV commercial that was a doodle. It's a video where like you see the hand with a pen drawing out what happens. So we are producing 2-minute doodle animated explainer videos and writing a script. The scripts according to a formula we've developed and tested thousands of times to make sure it works. And we're finding that if we do a 2-minute doodle sketch animation explainer video according to our formula, statistically it's increasing conversions for over 400%.
Wow. And so if you're doing that, excuse me. Some people say, I can't handle that many clients at one time. How do they regulate that?
Well, I wouldn't do a doodle video where the call to action was, give me money right now. Okay. Unless you could. So, for example, the video that's at marketdominationllc.com/doodle that sells our doodle service says, give us money right now. But as soon as we're maxed out, like last month we did 10 – opened up 10 slots for them, sold out all 10 in 24 hours. Mm. Right now, as we're doing this, we had 20 slots open yesterday and we have a handful left. So as soon as we're maxed out, we'll put a sold out sign on it and no one else and take the add to cart button away, and they won't be able to buy one until the next time, until we finish these 20. Wow. So I would say either change the offer. So for example, you could handle an unlimited number of people opting in for your book, your ebook, to attend your webinar, and then you cherry pick the best ones out of that in terms of the ones you'll actually let hire you.
And how, I mean, if they're just signing up for a webinar, how do you do that? You're talking about they go to the webinar and then you do a 40-minute yada yada with them and then decide? Is that what you mean?
I wouldn't do a yada yada first. I would, let's say they attend the webinar, I would make them fill out an application to get to the 40-minute yada yada. And then the ones who you like, let's say there's 100 and there's 10 you think would be dream clients, you do yada yadas or consultations or strategy sessions or enrollment conversations with those 10. And everybody else, the application is, I'm so sorry, we're sold out, we're filled up, we're just not a good fit right now. But here's some other cool resources for you to check out, either mine or somebody I trust. Until, you know, and we'll keep you on our list. And when we have more slots open up, we'll let you know, something like that. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. So I know all the listeners are wondering, what is it you charge for your little 2-minute doodles?
Well, the retail price of a 2-minute of sketch animation in our industry is $1,000 a minute. So at 2 minutes, it's $2,000 a month. There's a handful of other firms that do it. We all charge pretty much the same. However, for your listeners, we are currently doing an 80% off flash sale, which means your $2,000 doodle video is $400.
Wow, that's
awesome. That is marketdominationllc.com/doodle. And if there's any slots left, by the time they get there, they can get them at 80% off.
Perfect. Perfect. And they use that at the beginning of their funnel. Would that be right?
You could use one anywhere through your funnel. So we have funnels where it's the beginning of the funnel. We have funnels where it's the middle. We have funnels where it's the sales, the long sales letter, sales video at the end.
And how many openings do you have on that site right now? Do you know?
We had 9 this morning. We had 2 more come in that I know about. So we're at 7 right now. I don't know if there's any more that have come in since then. If it turns out that there are any of your people who want to get in and can't, if they message me directly, if it's sold out, have them let me know that they're coming from you and we'll figure something out and we'll work them in. It might take an extra week to get the video done, but we'll work them in.
Yeah, and that was my next question. What is the time frame on getting those videos done?
From start to finish, usually we're getting them done in under 30 days.
Awesome. Okay, wonderful. So I hope you all heard that. $400 for our audience. That's a heck of a deal. I want you to know that. And I've seen those videos, and probably many of you out there have, and they're very effective. I really, really like them. And Seth, who writes the commercial? Who writes it?
Either me or my staff. I've got, again, a great group of folks in our video department who are all trained in exactly the formula that we follow so that it works every time.
Awesome. Perfect. 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 I love that. Okay. So we're going to take a quick break. This day is going so fast. Don't you just love these guests on this show? It makes the time just fly by, and we will be right back with you. So hang on, and then we'll come back and have Seth's final thoughts. And I want to give you a heads up on who is going to be on the show next week. See you in a minute.
Hi, I'm Charlene Reeves with Maximize Your Wealth Now with a new tip on how to maximize your wealth. What if you could compel your clients rather than selling them so that they would work with you? Wouldn't that be so much easier? Wouldn't it be easier to have more income? I talk to entrepreneur after entrepreneur, and they're running from networking group to networking group, and they're so tired. And the reason they're tired is because they're not making any money, and they don't know how to work with their perfect clients. What if I said to you, compel, don't sell, and I could give you the tips for how to do that? I'm tearing back the curtain, and I'm going to show you how I built my business from zero to multi-millions, and I want you to make multi-millions too. So check it out on my website, maximizeyourwealthnow.com, and get signed up for the next class. I promise you, I guarantee you, you won't be sorry.
I invested in Shirlene's Compelled to Sell sales training program, and I just knew immediately that she was the person that I wanted to work with.
I came in wanting to know how to get more people I could talk to. And I also learned some things I didn't know that I didn't know. And now I know. At least I have a good idea.
The reason I took this course was because I felt like there were a lot of new things that Shirlene had to offer that I had not experienced before. That's why I took the class, is I wanted to sort of up-level my sales skills. And thank you, Shirlene, for this amazing class.
In 10 weeks, 8 Compel Don't Sell students made a total of $301,000. Isn't it time to make a compelling difference in your income? If you answered yes, call 1-888-889-9212. That's 1-888-889-9212 to register for the next Compel Don't Sell course and learn the art of selling with heart. Discover the secrets to the three-step sales waltz. Learn how to open a sales conversation and ask for the sale authentically in your own words. Dial to reserve your seat today. Dial 888-889-9212.
And welcome back. I want to talk to you about who we're having on next week. It is Paula Shaw, and she is one of my dearest friends, and we have so much fun together. I think you'll have fun with her, just like we did with Seth today. But she talks about how to overcome grief and addiction. That ought to be interesting because we're all addicted to something. I know I'm addicted to sugar, and I hope she's going to talk about that. So she will be on. She has her own radio show, and I was on her show, and so I graciously said, come on to mine. I know that our listeners are going to love you. So look forward to that next week on Thursday at 2 p.m. Pacific Live. So if you have questions about that kind of thing, be ready to call in. Now, Seth, I want to welcome you back and ask you for some final thoughts. Oh, and I do want to say, if any of you are interested in the stalker tags, Seth offers them at $500 a month for 10 tags. Now, can you imagine what that would mean to have 10 tags out there of advertising doing nothing but that for you in the highest end areas? That would be so awesome. And when you divide that out, that's really inexpensive. So Seth, give us your golden nuggets for the end of the show, a takeaway that we can do today.
All right, golden nugget. I will tell you, one of my favorite quotes is from a book called The $4 Sandwich by Dr. Corey Malnikoff, one of my top 10 books of all time. And my favorite quote from that book is that who you are affects how well what you do works. Who you are affects how well what you do works. So my evolutionary breakthroughs in my business haven't come because we learned a new stalker tag technology. Unfortunately, they've come because I've grown as a person. I've grown as an entrepreneur. I've grown as a father. I've grown as a husband. I've grown as a leader. And then the business follows. So the only reason that the stalker tag could come about or the doodle videos could come about was because I grew as enough as a leader, as a person, as an entrepreneur to be able to provide it.
Absolutely. Yes. And we do. We provide what we're ready for at the time, right?
Amen.
Well, Seth, thanks so much for being with us today. And remember, stalkertags.com if you're interested in that. And then marketdominationllc.com/doodle if you want his $400 offer. And I tell you, if you're smart, you'll do it today. So thanks so much, Seth, and I look forward to connecting with you out in the field.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Bye-bye, everyone, and we'll see you next Thursday at 2 p.m. Pacific.
Thank you for joining us on the Ascended Masters at Work show with spiritual life coach, Reverend Shirlene Reeves. We hope you found our message enlightening in a way that will change your everyday interactions in work and play. Share the love. Pass on our web address, ascendedmastersatwork.com, and if you have a great story to share, we'd love to have you on the show. This has been a Massive Visibility Media production. Join us next week for the Ascended Masters at Work show, and while remembering the words of the late Wayne Dyer, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. We say namaste.